15 to 25 knots, wind waves 3 to 6 feet. Northwest swell 8 to 10 feet at 8 seconds, and south 3 feet at 13 seconds. This is KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz, KOMY AM 1340 La Selva Beach, Watsonville. Stay tuned for the Saturday special next with your host, MZ. Saturday special is brought to you by Los Animas Concrete in Santa Cruz and the California Grill in Freedom. Stay tuned for some special messages for the start of the program.
18th and repeated on August 19th, there will be two health lectures in San Jose presented by Dr. Joel Wallach. He's the famous Dead Doctors Don't Lie lecturer and author of the book by the same title. You may have seen Dr. Wallach on the Benny Hinn Show recently. He will cover all that was discussed on the show and much more on the causes and prevention of diseases that plague us today. Come and learn how you can take charge of your health and prevent the cycle of prescriptions and side effects and more prescriptions. Members' fee is $10. Guests are free. For more information and to register, call 408-270-4131. 408-270-4131. Or email sanjoselecture@gmail.com. Mark your calendar for August 18th or 19th to hear Dr. Wallach. Email sanjoselecture@gmail.com.
It's your money. Homeowners 62 plus, the equity you have in your home is money in your bank account. Hi, I'm Dan Casagrande, the Central Coast Reverse Mortgage Expert. With a reverse mortgage from Reverse Man Dan, you can use your money when you want, for whatever you want, and you will never have to make a monthly mortgage payment.
This is Henry from the Monterey Bay area. I spent quite a bit of time researching reverse mortgages and contacted a number of reverse mortgage providers. Dan Casagrande was the one we wanted to work with. He was knowledgeable, good communicator, and able to explain it all to us. Professional, honest, personable. I really do recommend highly, Dan.
Your equity is your money. Call me, Reverse Man Dan, and I will tell you how much money you can have right now. 831-423-2900 or reversemandan.com.
Good morning.
You made it.
I sure did.
Was traffic out there a mess?
No, it was real easy. There was hardly anybody between here and, you know, near Aptos Hill. So, how are you, Aaron? Be honest.
Well, I'm doing okay.
May I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
What were you doing on this date? In 1974.
I was not even a conception in my parents' eye yet, so I really don't think I was doing much of anything.
Well, at least it takes a big man to admit that you were nothing back then.
I have been nothing a time or two.
I'm very upset because, you know, they had that security breach where they stole billions of usernames and passwords, and they're telling everybody to change your password. I changed my damn password. Now I forgot what it is. I can't get into my damn email account. Now, wait a minute. I might be able to get it on the iPhone here, so all may not be lost. All right, this is an historic day. Do you know what happened this day?
No, but I bet you're going to tell me.
Yeah. Okay, does anybody know what happened this day, 479-1080 in Area 831? There's nobody calling. What's with you people out there? What's with you people? A major, major historical event happened on this day, and there's no interaction at all. I mean, well, there's one call. Anyhow, I want to know. It really says something. It really says something about people's, you know, knowledge of history. I mean, it's just really. Well, all right. What happened? What happened in this day in history? All right. Hello. Who is this? Hello. Who is this? Hello. You're on the air, whoever you are. Okay. The next one. Hello, you're on the air. What happened on this day in history?
Richard Nixon.
That's exactly right, but Richard Nixon what?
Richard Nixon left office.
He sure
Goodbye.
Did. Were you a happy camper, or were you like Aaron and not exist? Did not exist on that day.
I was around, but I was a little tyke. But I do know my local history, American history.
And what is your name, please, sir?
My name is Greg.
What is it?
Greg.
Greg?
Yep.
Okay. So, Greg, how old? You say you were a little kid. Were you old enough to realize that it was a significant event that had happened?
I realized later it was, but I was in diaper.
All right. So, what were you doing? No, it's not a fair question for you because you were too young. What were you doing? I'm going to put this out to the entire KSCO audience. We all know what we were doing when Kennedy was assassinated. But what were you doing when Nixon announced, "I will leave office tomorrow at 12 noon"? What were you doing back then on August 9th, 1974?
I was playing with building blocks and on the kitchen floor probably, but...
Okay, but like I said, you're too young to remember what you were doing. Is there anybody out there who know what is it?
I can't believe I didn't remember this. Wasn't Frank Willis, the security guard at Watergate, the guy that tipped off people that is what got Nixon fired? It was Frank Willis. He was a security guard at the Watergate building. He tipped off the government that Nixon and his people were trying to dig up dirt on the opposite party, and that's the reason he got...
So how did you know all that? I mean, you
found
out later.
That I did remember.
Even alive then either. I mean, who's this on the line now, unscreened call? You're on the air on KSCO. You! Don't say something. You're on the air. I don't know. I can't address you by name because I just picked up the phone. Yeah, you! Say something, caller.
Hello?
There's a call. Okay, you know, they don't get it when you don't hear. Here, you could pick up and screen the call now, Aaron.
They also don't get it when you pick up and you tell them to turn off your radio either. They don't get that either.
Well, is something happening to our listening audience?
I haven't.
Is it getting broader? Is it getting larger? That would be very gratifying if our listening audience to KSCO is getting broader and large. Well, I don't know about broader, because broader could mean getting fat, you know, and that's not good for anybody's health. But larger, if the audience is getting larger, it's good. However, not at the expense of violating our number one rule that only smart people are permitted to listen to KSCO. Are some not-so-smart people leaking in there? I don't know. 479-1080, give us a phone call. And tell me what you were doing when you heard that Nixon was resigning. He's going to resign the next day. Major, major, major announcement. I mean, it's obviously not as big as the assassination of President Kennedy. Obviously not as big as the assassination of John Lennon, which to me was even... Should I say this? Yeah, I was more profoundly affected by the assassination of John Lennon on December 8th, 1980 than I was by... No, I'm not going to say it, because I'm going to lose points with a lot of people when I say what you think I was going to say. John and Carmel by the sea. Hi, John.
I was talking, and you weren't hearing me, and so anyways...
Oh, you know why? It's operator error, because I had the pot up, but I didn't have the button pushed, so forgive me.
That's KSCO engineering. I love it.
Yeah, and the finest technical difficulties of any radio station anywhere on Earth.
And consistent.
Yep.
So what I wanted to say is a couple things. I got to meet Nixon as a boy on Key Biscayne when he was down there, and I really think that the Democratic Party spent a lot of time trying to trash him, whether it be in the 60s, the Chicago group, or whether it be when he was president. There is no way that he could have gotten indicted and impeached. He didn't do anything, and I think the reason they wanted to get him was because of Alger Hess.
Well, wait a minute. What about the 18-minute gap?
Well, so what? That's not under
wait a
oath.
Minute. Creating an eight or having an 18-minute gap happen right where there is obviously some incriminating evidence is not, in itself an impeachable offense.
It's not impeachable. The tapes were his choice. They were not being able to be held in court. It's like the gaps that you have at KSCO. It probably was a technical thing. And again, it doesn't really matter. He did not initiate anything as far as those break-ins at the establishment of the psychiatrist. Oh. And it was the Democratic Party wanted to do him in. And ABC and NBC and CBS spent a lot of time. I mean, I got so bored with, and I was a kid, I got so bored with seeing that. It was unbelievable. They just kept going over and droning on and droning on. And again, I think his statement, like he did in the 60s, not to refute the presidential election, he did it because he was a gentleman. Another thing interesting is, he was a Quaker. And he went into the military, and that was against what Quakers do. He was in the Navy. And again, I think he did some wonderful stuff,
yep.
like our relationship
with
China.
And even by the time he died, in fact, quite a number of years before he passed, people were starting to recognize him. They were starting to forget, you know, the whole Watergate thing. And they looked at Nixon for the positive things that he did. John and Carmel by the Sea, thank you so much.
Cheers.
Sure. Have a good one. There goes John and Carmel by the sea. Here's James in Santa Cruz. You're on, James, on KSCO.
Yeah, Nixon did the only honorable thing he ever did in his office by abdicating the presidency.
Well, we should thank him for that.
The last caller.
Of course he had to. Of course he had to. There's no question. Even if John and Carmel by the Sea was still on, I'm positive he would agree that he did what he had to do. The pressure was so immense, there was no way he couldn't. Everybody was demanding that he resign. So, but what about afterwards, James? You think the guy was a slime ball probably forever, right? I mean,
it cracked me up later on when he became the elder statesman.
Uh huh.
As much as when Ollie North became the military expert, you know, to the media. It was just like they recreated themselves and America forgot what they did.
Right. Okay. All righty. Oh, thanks for weighing in. Appreciate it. That was James in Santa Cruz. Here is Rich Lieberman himself. Thank you, Rich, for the idea of this topic.
Yeah, I thought it would resonate.
It did. Uh-huh. It did. The board was full, but now it's almost empty, except for you and Diane in Santa Cruz.
Well, I don't normally call in on the other people's show, but I had to call in because Aaron mentioned the security guard, Frank Willis. And without Frank Willis, we wouldn't have had a Watergate because he actually was the security guard in the garage who noticed the door that led from the garage to the building had been taped, you know, black electric tape.
Yeah.
You'll recall in the movie All the President's Men, that was something very significant that doesn't often get brought up in this discussion, and that was without him discovering that door with the electric tape over the lock, then we don't have probably a burglary that is reported to the police. And thus, we probably just have a break-in, as they called it, a third-rate break-in. But that was the evolution, as you know, Michael, of
right.
Watergate.
Well, you know, I had forgotten that. It's sort of dredging up in my memory now. But the thing that everybody remembers is the first ever resignation of an American president in the history of the country.
And you know, what's fascinating about that whole episode, and even if you're, you know, I mean, if you're a diehard partisan on either party, the entire saga that it became, I mean, it became the basis of a word in our language, in our dictionary, and that is gate.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep.
We have Korea gate. Anytime there's a scandal, it's often the past.
The suffix gate is added. Yeah.
Right, and people don't know when they go to Washington, D.C., for the first time. They go see the memorials. They go see the White House. They go see the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument. But oftentimes, they don't go to see the actual building, and which was obviously called Watergate, which where the burglary took place. Anyway, I just wanted to chime in with that.
What would our country? How would our country be different, if at all, had Nixon remained president? Now, there's a question.
I think, as I told you some time ago, that, and I'm not the only one who believes this, I think Nixon would have been a really great president. He probably would have been in line with...
Well, he was a president for, what, 1.5 terms, right?
Yeah, 6 years, from 68 to 74. But he opened the door to China. He was feared and very much respected by, at the time, the Russians and President Brezhnev, and was very instrumental in I think even from a foreign policy standpoint, he was probably the best president we ever had, maybe short of Harry Truman.
Wow.
Anyway, I'll continue on with the call.
Yeah. So, Rich, you've been doing 2-3 weeks now? 3 weeks now, I think, right? Of your program on through your own blog, 415media.com. That's not right. It's Rich. What is it? Just 415 Media.
You have me up there on the top of the KSDO website. Yeah, it's 415 Media. We've done 3 weeks worth of shows.
Some of them are pretty spicy and pretty fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a spicy one on Monday, which I haven't even announced yet.
Is it a secret?
Real spicy one. No, but you'll see. You'll just have to tune in, right?
All right. Well, if things get really dull on the Saturday special, maybe we'll tune into hour number one of the show you did yesterday. Is that right? Is it hour number one?
Well, it was hour number one. Yeah, it got really heated.
How far into hour number one should we go? By the way, anybody can do this by just going to KSCO.com or ZBSradio.com. But go ahead.
Well, we had on Stacy Taylor, so many of your people who listen down there and in the Bay Area know Stacy from KGO. He was he was a very popular talk show host from San Diego, does years and years of talk radio in Chicago and in LA. And I had him on as a guest. We were talking primarily current events, and sure enough, we went over to the Middle East, and let's just say this. He has one opinion, and I have one opinion, and we start talking about the whole Israeli-Gaza thing, and we got into it pretty good. And, Stacy has his set of ideas, and I have mine, and I challenged him a little bit, and he, if you just give a listen, it's pretty good.
All right. So, on demand at KSCO.com or ZBSradio.com, Lieberman Live. Thanks, Rich. Have a good one. Appreciate the call today. Next one will be Diane in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special, Diane. You're on.
Hey, MZ. Thanks for taking my call, and your high-priced consultant wouldn't be happy with you for making me wait this long for an advertisement for Rich, who I really like and I'll be listening to. But
good.
Anyway, just wanted to let you know that I was crossing into Canada on vacation, listening to Nixon resigning and singing Happy Days Are Here Again. And during those years, I had read everything I could, read all the books, listened to the hearings, Sam Ervin, all these gods of some, just grilling and investigating and, Dean and Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Spiro Agnew, Nixon did some pretty good stuff, but it never equaled or could excuse what he tried to do to our basic liberties in this country. And for people to say that he was set up, I'm sorry. It's really unfortunate when you look at the whole total package of the guy. Now, the other thing I want to say is for those that were not born and went through this whole period, it's a sad thing to hear them accept, Obama's IRS executives' hard drives, you know, 8 of them crashing, not being available for the emails. And you have that picture of Rosemary, you know, Nixon's secretary, trying to do the 18, show how the 18-minute gap on the tape took place. You know, these guys are sleazy, slimy.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, so do you think the country would have been different if he would have remained president? If he somehow, you know, could have, you know, weathered the storm?
Had he not done this, he probably would have been seen today by both parties as having a really significant presidency by setting up the EPA, opening up our talks with China, a lot of things that he did. But no, I still think that what he did and what he allowed happen on his watch and was involved with will never, ever excuse what he did.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hey, thank you very much for calling the Saturday special, Diane in Santa Cruz. That opens up yet another line at 479-1080. In fact, truth be known, all of the lines at 479-1080 are open. If you want to call us and weigh in on this Nixon topic, feel free. We'd love to hear from you. What do you have to say, Aaron?
I'm surprised that no one has mentioned Vietnam yet.
Okay, well, maybe the person who's calling right now.
Because wasn't Nixon primarily responsible for us going to Vietnam? Unless, of course, my history is completely out the window.
No. It was more... He got us out of Vietnam, actually.
Thank God. You know?
But no.
Because I've heard two different stories. I've heard people blame him for
No. It should have been Johnson, you know, before him. Yeah. Who's this on line number one? You're on the air.
I'm MZ Mike. I'm Nick in Royal Oaks.
Oh, hi Nick. What's up?
Afternoon. For starters, I'm getting brainstorms every caller, and for one thing. The EPA is the group that poisoned us with MTBE.
That's exactly right. So that's another reason that Nixon is bad, because he, under his watch, the EPA was established, right?
Yeah, and probably.
And by the way, he opened up his big thing that everybody talks about is opening up relations with China. Now we owe our souls to the Chinese. So yet another reason that Nixon sold us down the river. He was a terrible person. Terrible.
When what Rich, I got from Rich. You know, Rich said about the security guard.
Yeah.
I'm not clear about how that happened. We got a case in King City where there was a whole ring around police taking cars and selling them from the Mexicans, and how it got broken up was there was a 12-year-old a veteran cop transferred to King City.
Yeah.
And he was fixing the books on a case where somebody he knew, his son, got in trouble and he falsified the report. But he wasn't aware of the car ring, but by researching him, they connected it.
Well, thank God, right? Doesn't matter how it happens, just that it happens.
So, all right. There's so many things to think about. I can tell you about the Harbor Patrol going over to the San Francisco Bayside to his condo on a weekend, and he blasting the music, and the neighbor says, "Please quiet it down." And he comes out and he hits the neighbor with the bat. How do you like that? That's reverse Santa Cruz, because you usually say San Jose comes to Santa Cruz and makes a mess. This guy goes over there.
Well, a tit for a tat, right?
That was last year, the Santa Cruz Harbor. Somebody in Santa Cruz never got that word.
All right, we got a board full of people. Thank you, Nick, for calling. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. I'm going to say take next, and that'll put on Gordy in Boulder Creek. Hi, Gordy.
Hi, MZ. There's several things I remember about the Nixon administration. One, that he concluded Kennedy's plan to get a man on the moon. In fact, I taped on audio tape and Super 8 the landing on the moon when he was there talking with the astronauts as they were landing on the moon. And then, of course, later on, when he started getting in trouble in Watergate, and there's Kissinger and B.B. Rebozo and that whole scene with the mafia, a lot of connections there. My daughter was almost 1 year old at the time, and I had been working previously on Project Apollo. And when that was concluded, I went over to the laser industry, and I'd been working there for 3 or 4 years. And I was starting to meet a lot of people, and I also understood, as your previous caller mentioned, that he had this detente and the opening of trade with China, which I thought was questionable at the time. The biggest thing that he did was he got us out of Vietnam. He concluded that war, which was really meaningful to me and a lot of the people. I didn't particularly like the way that he got us out of Vietnam, but he did in that that era.
Yes. So, anyhow, good. Well, thank you for bringing that up, Gordy, in Boulder Creek. We appreciate your call.
Well, thank you for bringing this up today. I think that none of the other stations are talking about this. You know, that this was a very significant.
Well, Rich Lieberman gets all the credit with that because I was talking with him earlier talking about, by the way, his program, which is only on KOMY, between our two stations. It's produced on KOMY with Dave Michaels and Rich. Weekdays between 2 and 4, and it is my belief that that program, even though it's on the smaller station, is just taking off like crazy. Speaking of taking off, that and Flight 1080, which Dave does right afterwards on KSCO with Kelly Souza, both of those programs are taking off like a rocket. Rich's program, even though it's on the 1,000-watt station, it's also carried live on his blog, which has thousands of people reading it every day. See, Rich is an excellent writer, and I think he's an excellent talk show host too, but, you know, he needs to sort of develop that. He hasn't been a talk show host all that long. He's been a writer forever. And so my idea is that why not add the dimension of talk radio to his media blog that already has thousands and thousands and thousands of people listening or watching it or logging on to it every day, and all they need to do is click on the listen button to hear him, and his program, his blog will become soon affiliated probably with Alex Jones and some other great syndicated programs, in addition to creating some live and local things like his own show.
It'd be interesting to get them together.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear Alex Jones and Lieberman talk
well,
about.
Well, you can do that. I think we've got that in Riveting Radio. Maybe we don't. He interviewed Alex for an hour about a year ago here on KSCO, and it was an excellent, excellent interview. He was really, really good.
Well, do it again.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll rerun it. Or it's really hard to get. It's easier to get hold of Obama than to get hold of Alex Jones, because Alex Jones has become the fastest rising credible. Yeah. I know a lot of people can't believe what I'm saying. Credible news source in the world.
Well, absolutely. People just need to wake up to Alex Jones. When you hear things that maybe sound out of order or sound questionable, but unfortunately, people don't do any research on their own anymore. They don't check out his facts. So you check out Alex Jones' facts, and you find out they are facts. They are real. They are the truth. And it's too much for a lot of people to handle when they hear it. But anyway, I know you've got other callers, so you have a great morning.
Thank you, Gordy. You too. Appreciate your call to 479-1080. There is now one open free line. Two, actually. Dave in Santa Cruz, you're up next. How you doing?
Good morning. Just to get off of the Nixon for a second, today's real significance is the bombing of Nagasaki to virtually end World War II. I think that even might be more credible than Nixon. But I think the Nixon issue is primarily so that Obama doesn't have to bash Bush for another day. They can pick on somebody else for a while.
Right.
And that's about discussion. It.
All righty. Hey, thanks for bringing that up. We appreciate your call, the 479-1080. Andy in Santa Cruz, your turn.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, when you say Nixon, I remember Rolling Thunder and the B-52 strikes against Hanoi. There were 17 B-52s shot down, but he's credited with bringing Hanoi to the peace tables.
In fact,
an interesting aside to that is one of the Hanoi generals told him that if he would have continued Rolling Thunder for another 2 weeks, they would have brought the North Vietnamese army to their knees.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So that all happened.
Thanks for bringing it up. Now, how old were you then?
God, I was a teenager, probably 15 and 16.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can, there was a lot going on then. I mean, my dad was National Review and the Christian Science Monitor, and boy, you know, Vietnam was the whole test of us against the communists.
So I
remember those days. Anyway.
Do you remember the old Catalyst when it was in the old, you know, way pre-Earth? That's where I was. When I got, I was eating with my dad, or on my way to eat lunch with my dad, who had his optometry office, you know, through the St. George Hotel on the other side of Pacific Avenue. You know, he was at 1527 Pacific Avenue. And a lot of people who were listening, you know, I think probably will remember my dad. He was just a prince of a guy, and he was a character, and he loved people, and I used to go and have lunch with him quite frequently, and his favorite place was the original Catalyst, which was a co-op. And we were sitting at the Catalyst when I think Bill Lovejoy, my buddy from high school and photographer for the Sentinel, even way back then, you know, came through and said, he resigned. He wasn't going to resign, but he just resigned. So anyhow, the corned beef sandwiches were pretty good back there at the original Catalyst. We would sit right next to the fish pond fountain, you know.
Yeah,
it was great.
I remember all that. Well, thanks.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate your call to 479-1080. Next caller will be Rich in Salinas. You're on, Rich, on KSCO.
Yeah, hi. I happened to be 2 years out of the military at that point. I was 28, and I was watching him resign on TV when it took place. But I do, there's a number of things. One thing, though, that I liked him for the most is that I got a 6-month early release from the military.
Yeah.
He was downgrading the war, and I was stationed in England at the time, and a whole bunch of us in the squadron got a letter saying, you can leave 6 months earlier if you'd like, or you can go on to your next station. And we all decided we'd leave.
And you decided you liked the president a lot better then.
Yeah, I liked him for that. But if you remember also, who was his right-hand man? That was Henry Kissinger.
That's true. The vice president was Spiro Agnew, who had resigned earlier, which is why it was not Spiro Agnew that became the president when Nixon resigned. It was why the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, and Spiro Agnew was involved in corruption.
Right.
And that's why he resigned. But Kissinger is the biggest globalist. He's still alive today.
That's right. He is, and he's still pretty active. I think he still frugs with Jill St. John. Well, maybe not. I don't know.
That I don't know about.
He used to do that.
He's the one that organized all this stuff with China that brought us to where we are. Nixon also got us off the gold standard. So that's all of our financial problems we're dealing with. So he did a lot of bad things as well.
That's exactly right. Okay, Rich and Salinas, thank you for your call to the Saturday special. Art in East Santa Cruz, you're on KSCO. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm about a couple blocks from you on Corcoran. But anyway, I'm about your age, MZ. You've said your name on the air a couple times. 62, I think.
I'm 62.
Right, I'm 61.
Okay.
And I have two personal experiences, and one you'll know about. It's called the lottery draft.
Yeah.
It's very different. Now, and I've not heard anybody bring that up. I was subjected to that, and I believe it was Richard Nixon, to his credit, that initiated that as a substitute to the regular induction of any 18-year-old in the U.S.
Right.
Unless you had a deferment, and the deferment was based on being in college. Well, that was a popular one, shall I say.
Right, right. The 2S deferment, I'll remember that.
Right. Well, there were enough people who, and parents of the kids who were not going in college, who said this is not fair. So they made up a lottery based on your birthday. And my year, the spring of 1972, I was a freshman in college, but I was still subjected because the lottery came along. And they took the first 100 birthdays picked had to show up at the induction center. Well, I was number 338. So I guess God was looking out for me. But I do think that I'm thankful for the lottery system, which was designed by Richard Nixon. Now, your sidekick there was incorrect on his history. Maybe you straightened him out.
Who are you talking? Which sidekick? Aaron?
The subject is how we got into Vietnam. We got into Vietnam by, unfortunately, a man I liked very much. I was only 10 years old. John Kennedy.
Yeah, that's true. And I was thinking about that. I should have said that. But
yeah, it was John Kennedy. And to his great demise, which brought his downfall in 68 when he said, I will not run again for a second term.
Well, now you're talking about Johnson, not Kennedy.
Well, no, Johnson then. Kennedy was shot in 63. But between 64 and 68, Johnson accelerated our involvement.
Bingo. That's right. You're absolutely right. And I should have said that because I knew that.
Yeah. And that is the main reason, because of the protests that were so strong against what he did. He chose not to run as the Democrat candidate in 68. And Nixon stepped in, made his comeback, and won in 68. And then he initiated the lottery that I just spoke of, and then did other things. But I have a personal note to tell you, very interesting. A friend of mine and I flew to Washington, D.C. in the spring of 1972 during Watergate.
Yeah.
We had an arrangement to pick up a Volkswagen, drive it back to San Jose. Well, it was the dog days of it. They were in recess. As they are today, right now. Washington, D.C., the White House was open, except for security. My friend and I were 19 years old. We walk in to the Watergate hearing room, because what I remembered, because I was watching it, the Watergate on TV, and it's the same one. We walked in. There was green carpeting everywhere on the floor, and it was just like it was on TV, but there was not one person there except my buddy and I. We were 19, and that's exactly where the Watergate hearings were taking place.
Wow.
On TV. So anyway, yeah. and the one good thing, you know, it's hard to pick up a piece of clothing or anything that says, that doesn't say made in China. That was initiated by Richard Nixon.
Right.
Okay. So to his credit, and he did get us out. I remember the helicopters lifting people off the ground in Hanoi and taking people out, Americans out of Vietnam. That was under his watch. And one last thing, yes, it's political, but it's true. It's true. Nobody died at Watergate. We had four men, employees of the federal government, die at Benghazi, Libya.
Yep.
The first ambassador to ever die since 1979 on foreign land.
Right.
And those are all facts. So
Art, thank you so much for calling the Saturday Special. You've been a great caller.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Wait a minute. This is amazing. I know KSCO is listenable worldwide because of the web. But can this be? Is it Henry Kissinger or some? No, is this Henry Kissinger?
Hello, Michael. Yes, this is Henry Kissinger. I'm in Monterey speaking with Norma Mineta at the Mineta Institute, and I hear your program, and I wanted to talk to you. I think it's very much appropriate that you bring up this topic today, and I enjoy your program.
Wow.
I'm
surprised.
Well, I love your show, and I must say that Mr. Nixon was a brilliant tactician and a wonderful man. He may have had some flaws, but he was a terrific person to work with, and I'm quite sad that his legacy will be littered with all the Watergate minutiae. But we are a country that are very fortunate to have had his services, Michael.
Dr. Kissinger, I'm speechless, but I appreciate your calling. Do you listen to KSCO? Just because you happen to be out here.
I just happen to be out here. My aide told me you were talking about Watergate, and I happened to turn on, and my good friend, Mr. Mineta. I'm speaking in Monterey tomorrow.
I see.
And this is a very, very, very sort of bittersweet day for me, having been Secretary of State. So I must go, but I thank you. This is a wonderful program, and keep up the very good work. I appreciate your program.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Kissinger.
Yes.
Wow. I think I just sort of hung up on Dr. Kissinger.
Oh, no stupid people. Remember your sign?
Yeah. Sherry in Santa Cruz.
Hey,
I don't know what to say about that. I didn't expect a call from Dr. Kissinger.
He'd hang up on the Pope, too.
Well, that was poop. No. He said he had to go, and I was my finger was already on the button to take the next caller.
Oh.
And it was sort of shaking because I'm not used to talking to such a famous statesman.
What an honor it is to have someone of that caliber.
That's totally amazing. And I want to talk about a totally different topic, MZ, because I want Dr. Wallach is coming to San Jose on the 18th and 19th, and I think you should come to Santa Cruz too, and get to be heard over here. Hello.
Yeah.
And then also, I don't think you should rebroadcast this show at night, because we all miss George Norrie. Some of us love George Norrie. He's very informative, and he has all these authors on.
How dare you?
Oh, my God.
How dare you say to the owner of KSCO, the only joy I have in my life is 2 hours of doing the Saturday special. You want to deprive me of being able to listen to myself from 10 p.m. to midnight because of George Norrie that you can listen to seven other nights? I mean, six other nights. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Hey, now tell Kay hello.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down.
Kay is here, by the way. I forgot to tell. Kay is here every Saturday, so if I forget to say.
I love Kay, and I love you. You've been more than kind to me, and I just wanted to talk about longevity, and Joe Wallach is coming to San Jose.
He sure is.
And I wish he would come to Santa Cruz, even if we had to meet at the park. Because I love his products.
Well, if anybody, a lot of people listen to Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio show on, you know, over the years. This September, we will have been producing that show continuously each weekday at 12 noon for the last 18 years. Can you believe that?
Where is it on at 12 noon?
He's on at, on Comey. Live at 12 noon.
And what number is that?
1340. Same place you get Rich Lieberman live from 2 to 4 on weekdays.
Oh, okay.
Same place you get Pharmacist Ben Fuchs live from 8 to 9 in the morning.
Oh, I was listening to him at 4 because I wake up to the sound of his voice.
Yeah, yeah. Doc Wallach is also on KSCO at 4 in the morning until 5 a.m. No, I got to tell people. He is.
He's magical.
He is.
And his products are magical. I'm telling everyone out there, you have to try longevity because it'll make you feel like a new person.
Well,
here's
the thing.
I'm curing my cataracts, and I give praises to God and longevity, and I love Dr. Wallach. Next time I see him, I might kiss him on the cheek.
Okay,
Sherry. I might kiss you, too, because I love you.
Well, come on down, say hello to Kay, and you can. If you need some extra longevity products, we have them here. Dave Michaels is not here, but Richard B. Luther II is.
Oh, well.
He doesn't have the product knowledge that Dave does, but he can definitely fetch you what you want if we got it here. So anyhow, thanks for calling the Saturday special, Sherry.
Okay. Well, I like that you're talking to yourself in the afternoon and the evening. Now I understand it, so I can.
Listen, I almost got in a fight not with George Norrie, but with his syndicator because they said their contract required that we carry the program from six to midnight on Saturdays. I said, it ain't gonna happen. You are not going to preempt my show. My own show. Even though it's a rerun. You will not do that. And they said, well, I'm sorry, sir, but that's the requirement. I said, we're not going to carry George Norrie then. See you around.
Oh,
And they changed their attitude very quickly.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
And by the way, George is a good friend of mine. He's a good guy.
Can we tell Ann Strever, Whitley Strever's wife, that about longevity? She has brain cancer and she needs to be on the product immediately.
Well,
I have cataracts, so I can't get on a computer and notify George, but I think that his sister and Ann need to be on the product immediately. Maybe you can call them or.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay.
But
I'm sorry to hear that
you,
news.
And I also wanted to say that you know, LBJ decided right before he died that he made a total mistake in Vietnam and he had no business being there.
I remember that. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, and I didn't mean to insult you.
Okay, thanks. Let's see, here goes Sherry. Here is Michael in Live Oak. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, MC.
Hey.
A couple of things. That your buddy who had that station in Modesto, what were the call letters?
KMPH?
Yeah, did you know that it was sold?
No, but things happen, you know.
Yeah, it was bought by the Immaculate Heart Radio Network.
They are buying everything, the Catholics.
That's right.
They have so much money, and they don't have to pay taxes.
That's
on
right.
their churches, but not just the Catholics. I mean, nobody has to pay taxes. And by the way, isn't that something that should be changed? What do you think, Aaron? Don't you think everybody should have to pay property taxes, and religious, organizations should not get away with that? Nothing against the Catholics, nothing against the Jews, nothing against. I think its time has come already. Don't you?
You know, to me, I don't understand how if you're in a building.
Oh, wait a second. Here, go ahead. Yeah.
If you're in a building or something like that, it doesn't matter whether you're a religious organization or not. You should pay taxes. You're a living, breathing thing. You're a citizen. Why should you have to be exempt from paying taxes?
Anyhow, yeah, I didn't mean to make enemies of the Immaculate Heart people. They're very, very good people. I've met them. They actually approached me wanting to buy KOMY some years ago.
Right.
But anyhow, okay. Well, yeah, they're in their own way taking over a lot of the world.
It was Jim Boston told me they sold that whoever that was that had it.
Yeah, it was Harry Pappas.
Harry sold it for $50,000.
That sounds about right.
But anyway, the other thing I want to bring up.
Maybe someone will buy KSCO for $5,000. Or maybe I'd have to pay somebody a few $100,000 to take KSCO.
I so wish he would do an oldies thing, at least part-time on Comey, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, we'll
but
see.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to bring up was John Rothman actually worked with Richard Nixon.
He certainly did, before he died, of course.
Right, that's right. He would be a great person to have on either, if you can get him today, or next week on the show.
All right, we'll put in a call for John. He's a pretty busy dude. I doubt that we'll be able to catch him today, but we can try during the break.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you much. There goes Michael in Live Oak. Here is Billy Sunshine himself.
Hi, MZ.
Hi.
Hey, what percentage of the time do you, in fact, listen to the rebroadcast?
None.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Just to set the record straight on Richard Nixon, a couple calls ago we had somebody talking about how he ended the war in Vietnam. No, what Richard Nixon did was keep it going when it was about to end. He lied about some secret plan he had to end the war. Nobody died in Watergate. What died was my belief that, and my respect for the presidency, to see how such a foul human being as Nixon could become president. He was definitely the worst president other than W. Yeah, yeah.
Well, what about Obama?
Billy?
You're an intelligent dude. I know you voted for him twice. You don't still.
I did. I'm very disappointed in Obama, but mostly because I don't feel he stood up to the Republicans properly, you know, who were just, you know, decided to shut the country down while he was president. But yeah, I'm disappointed. But you know what? I'm not disappointed in the economic job he did. He cleaned up W's mess very well. You know, people who complain about our economy, if I understand it correctly, their problem is that that Obama didn't dig us out of the hole that George Bush put us into, and yet they never complained when George Bush was doing it. And here we go again. Look at Iraq. Oh, my God. Anyway, we don't want to go there, MZ.
Where do we want to go? Where do we want to go?
Well, let's quickly just, how's your mom?
She's good. Why don't you come down and say hello? She's up front here somewhere.
And I just think that Dave Michaels is doing a great job, don't you?
He is, but, you know, something happened this week, Billy.
What?
It's significant. It really is.
What?
I got my first ever complaint
about
Dave Michaels.
Yeah. What was the subject of the complaint?
Well, let's see if I can find it was from Tuesday's show. I was driving from KSCO East here, you know, to Santa Cruz. It's a five hour drive, and I was able to hear the entire Flight 1080 program that day.
Wow.
And I remember being a little surprised. Dave is a guy who everybody likes. I mean, he's one of the few people that you cannot dislike. It's impossible
That's right.
to dislike the guy.
Left, right, otherwise,
and
you love Dave.
And the reason is because Dave is he's sensitive. He doesn't like to step on anybody's toes.
No, he's a sweet guy.
Yeah,
he's bright and sweet all the way.
He's
bright and sweet.
But
yeah.
Apparently, he said some things about law enforcement, about cops who are wise ass cops. And mm-hmm. I know there are such people. I've known of some of them myself.
Well, you know, cops are sort of like the rest of us. They got everything imaginable. You know, they got good guys and bad guys.
Uh-huh. So anyhow, should I read the email if I can find it?
If you can find it.
Yeah.
But you got to stay interesting while you look.
A-E-E-L-S. Okay, let's see if I can find it in my
journal. By the way, MZ, have you found that place you were advertising
no,
for?
No,
and
have you presented my offer?
You weren't close.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. I was just over there actually last night for a barbecue. Boy, is it beautiful.
Okay, never mind. I don't want to.
It's always great.
Never mind.
Always good weather.
All right, anyhow, so someone said, so I got an email, I can't find it, but it basically said that they were upset with Dave because he was trashing law enforcement. And I don't think he was trashing law enforcement
in
general.
No, of course he
certainly was not. But the point is, I have never received anything negative on Dave and don't expect to ever again.
Well, you know, I every now and then I'd like you to get a complaint just because it means he's manning up a little bit, you know. Every now and then, I mean, people are so sensitive and crazy out there, you know, you got to expect some rare complaints about Mr. Michaels.
Oh, okay. All right. So thank you for calling, Billy. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. There's nobody else on the line now. Nobody else. Nobody else is on the line. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means that we're pretty close to the top of the hour, right? So, do we need a caller to make the program viable? I don't think so.
I would say, you know, for the last minute, I don't think it's necessary.
But what is? Oh, here it is. Yeah, I'm trying to find. Okay, it's 10:59:03:04:05. What can we talk about next hour? Flight 1080 and Rich Lieberman show is doing well. We already covered that. If anybody else wants to contact that, that's fine. This day in history, how would our country know? We already got that. Media treatment of Israel, biased coverage. What do you predict for the future of Israel? Went to the boardwalk last night, passed what used to be. Oh, damn, I just gave it away. But forget what I said. The jury will disregard what I just said. I'll bring it up in a different way next hour here. Where can you get the best authentic thin crust Italian pizza around here? And then there's a place that's sort of like Benihana, where I'm going to go for lunch right after this program, and I'm wondering how many KSCO listeners will feel like joining me. KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 11 a.m., and here is CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. There have been 3 U.S. airstrikes on militant positions in Iraq, and President Obama says they have knocked out some arms and equipment that could have been used in an attack on Erbil. He says the effort to protect some U.S. personnel and religious minorities could take time.
The most important timetable that I'm focused on right now is the Iraqi government getting formed and finalized. Because in the absence of an Iraqi government, it is very hard to get a unified effort by Iraqis against ISIL.
Mideast expert Fasul Easterbadi says a truly representative government is the only solution.
If you don't have genuine wide buy-in across all ethnicities, then the state of Iraq will simply collapse and cease to exist. If Iraq collapses, it will not collapse into three neat pieces.
Fighting and funerals continue in Gaza. CBS's Cammy McCormick in Tel Aviv.
In Gaza today, Palestinians held a funeral for three members of one family killed in the fighting. Israel continued to strike positions inside Gaza for a second straight day. And from early this morning, rockets were fired into southern Israel, more than 80 in the past 24 hours. As for the truce talks in Cairo, the Israeli delegation still hasn't returned to Egypt.
Aid workers are still on the ground in West Africa despite the as-yet uncontrolled Ebola outbreak.
As he traveled throughout Sierra Leone this past week, Michael Stuhlman says everyone is on guard.
You still have checkpoints along the road where you have to stop, you get out, you wash your hands with a combination of chlorine and water.
He says in places where people have the deadly virus,
a lot of people will have known someone who's been tested positive for Ebola.
Stuhlman says large gatherings have been canceled. Even nightclubs have been shut down. Phil Yakubuski for CBS News, Baltimore.
Oil is greasing the wheels of U.S.-Russia cooperation. CBS's Larry Miller.
Texas-based ExxonMobil has just begun drilling for oil in the Russian Arctic, a joint $700 million project with the Russian company Rosneft, this despite sanctions imposed by Washington on Rosneft. Joint projects are exempt. From his Black Sea retreat, Russian President Putin praises this as an example of cooperation between Russian and American companies at a time of political tension. Putin says it's good that commercial pragmatism and common sense prevails. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
One of the nation's toughest curfew laws is now in effect in Baltimore. Teens under 14 must be home by 9 on school nights, 16-year-olds by 10. One mother supports it.
Why not try something new? What has been going on has not been working.
Children will not face criminal charges, but their parents could be fined as much as $500. This is CBS News.
Every footballer at every club, every hero we know and love, every bloke who takes a spill, every lovely bit of skill, every keeper getting stick, every through ball, every flick, every ace in the hole, every stunning, brilliant goal. For every thrill supporters seek, the Premier League is every week. The Premier League returns to NBC and NBCSN beginning August 16th. Every match, every team, every week.
Cloud may be just another overused buzzword, but the cloud is an effective computing environment that can save your business time and money. Barracuda Networks is no stranger to the cloud. In fact, all of our security and storage solutions connect to the cloud for continuous updates and off-site redundancy. Barracuda's cloud also plays host to our email security, web security, file sharing, and e-signing services. We even offer solutions on Amazon's AWS and Microsoft's Azure public cloud platforms. To try any of our cloud-connected solutions free, visit barracuda.com/cloud.
You're listening to KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz, KOMY AM 1340 La Selva Beach, Watsonville. It is currently 4 minutes past 11 a.m. on Saturday, August 9th, 2014, and 60 degrees at KSCO Studios. Friendly voice, Aaron Shore with your local King of the Hill traffic, brought to you live. Taking a look at your roadways in and around Santa Cruz. Here in Santa Cruz, closure of a road at Highway 9 at Pike Road due to a traffic incident that did take place earlier this morning at approximately 4:40 a.m. As of 9:30 a.m., it looks like the roadway is said to be open, unknown if they will need to close the road again for further work to be done. Further details, next live on-air broadcast. Ian Hollister at Highway 25 at Shore Road, a traffic collision shortly after 10:40 this morning with no injuries, thank goodness. Looks like units are still at the scene shortly before the top of the hour. Looks like it was a solo vehicle traffic collision. Your Northern Monterey Bay Central Coast weather forecast for today, continuing with clouds in the early morning. Highs are reaching the mid-70s by the early afternoon. Looks like sunshine's starting to break through a little bit out there. Light winds drifting southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Your boater's forecast for today, northwest winds 15 to 25 knots, wind waves 3 to 6 feet, northwest swell 8 to 10 feet at 8 seconds, and south 3 feet at 13 seconds. This is KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz, KOMY AM 1340 La Selva Beach, Watsonville. This second portion of the Saturday special is brought to you by Reverse Man Dan. Reverse Man Dan, if you're a homeowner, 62 plus, you likely have money at hand. Learn how much money you can get in your hand right now without having to make a monthly mortgage payment by contacting Reverse Man Dan at 423-2900 or reversemandan.com. It's your money. Stay tuned for a few ads before the Saturday special brought to you by the second half. Stay tuned.
On August 18th and repeated on August 19th, there will be two health lectures in San Jose presented by Dr. Joel Wallach. He's the famous Dead Doctors Don't Lie lecturer and author of the book by the same title. You may have seen Dr. Wallach on the Benny Hinn Show recently. He will cover all that was discussed on the show and much more on the causes and prevention of diseases that plague us today. Come and learn how you can take charge of your health and prevent the cycle of prescriptions and side effects and more prescriptions. Members fee is $10. Guests are free. For more information and to register, call 408-270-4131. 408-270-4131 or email sanjoselecture@gmail.com. Mark your calendar for August 18th or 19th to hear Dr. Wallach. Email sanjoselecture@gmail.com.
It's your money. Homeowners 62 plus, the equity you have in your home is money in your bank account. Hi, I'm Dan Casagrande, the Central Coast reverse mortgage expert. With a reverse mortgage from Reverse Man Dan, you can use your money when you want, for whatever you want, and you will never have to make a monthly mortgage payment.
This is Henry from the Monterey Bay area. I spent quite a bit of time researching reverse mortgages and contacted a number of reverse mortgage providers. Dan Casagrande was the one we wanted to work with. He was knowledgeable, good communicator, and able to explain it all to us. Professional, honest, personable. So I really do recommend highly, Dan.
Your equity is your money. Call me, Reverse Man Dan, and I will tell you how much money you can have right now. 831-423-2900 or reversemandan.com.
Yeah, hey, Aaron, I just realized something that's very troubling.
Yes.
I didn't play the jingle at the beginning of the show. I didn't play the hour one jingle, did I? The good morning jingle.
Don't think so.
Yeah, I started asking you personal questions and then forgot. And then forgot that I was supposed to play this.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
It says, remind Billy that Democrats shut down the government. Was it four or more times during Reagan's terms? Always so two-sided. I think he means two-faced. That's a text from somebody. I don't know who it was. Someone has my personal number that I don't know.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay. Now, look, we just got to catch up. So here, is it a fanfare or a crossfire that we would use today? Is it a fanfare or a crossfire?
I definitely think a crossfire. Come okay. on, it's political.
No. This one, you mean. This one, yeah. Okay.
really? You know, we were talking about what you were doing when you heard that Nixon resigned. So that could have been... That could be like a fanfare. Just play them both at the same time, right? Mishmash to sort of cover everything, right?
Okay. Well,
when I'm torn between two or three of the same items at a supermarket, I just get all three of them, you know? Oh, so there it is. I think it's going to end in 8 seconds, so I'll just let it run out. And then we'll catch up, because we still have to do the Hour 2 jingle, right? This one. You know, the one that starts with the phone ringing. You know, this one here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. Love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, I am in here at the in the talk studio of your favorite radio station, masticating.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO.
And I am masticating in a way that people do not traditionally masticate. Yeah. The Slender FX shake from Longevity, vanilla flavored. I usually like chocolate over vanilla, but in this case, I like vanilla better than chocolate. The Slender FX meal replacement shake is so delicious, even when you shake it, you know, when you mix it with water or milk or something and shake the hell out of it. It's so good just by itself that I take a scoop out of it and I throw it in the old orifice and start masticating. I start chewing the powder. And it's absolutely delicious. I highly recommend it to all of you. And it's part of the, our Become Slender program. It's got this, and what else is there? Oh, here. It has, there's also Slender FX Food Fiber by Longevity. See? Not a significant source of vitamin A, vitamin C, calcium, or iron. However, it is a proprietary blend of acacia gum, maltodextrin, isomalto, oligosaccharide, and glucosaminin. And I can tell you from personal experience that when you consume this Slender FX food fiber, even by itself, but if you throw it into the whey shake, it's great. But you can just eat it by itself, and it will make you a regular person. And all of us like to be regular people, right? Okay. Aaron, may I ask you another personal question?
Sure.
Have you ever gone to one of these Japanese steakhouses where they put on a show for you as they're cooking your food on the grill and these big tables with a bunch of people? You know what I'm talking about?
Sure, sure. Like a Benihana. I mean,
exactly.
I've seen it done on TV, but I've never gone to one.
Oh, you haven't lived until you've experienced. I mean, most of these places have pretty darn good food, and I think they all have a very interesting, fun show for you to watch.
Well, don't you sit kind of around this,
exactly,
and they cook in the middle of you, and there's
That's
fire,
right.
And there's...
Yeah, and they toss shrimps at you, and you know they tell you to lean your head back and open your mouth wide, and the guy is pretty skilled and he can flip a shrimp so that it lands right in your mouth, you know, right across the table and everything.
You know, it's amazing too, because it is like an art. I mean, people don't realize it is an art.
Well, the reason I'm telling you this is we have such a place here in Santa Cruz, have had for, I don't know, better part of a year now, and it's in the old Adolph's restaurant building on Water Street.
Sure.
At Brantsafordy? Water
and Ocean.
It's right. It's a block down, a block east from.
Maybe
two
it's
blocks.
May Street.
No, it's not May. It's the one next to May. Market Street.
Market,
that's what it is.
Yes.
It's the corner of Market and Water Street. And the restaurant is called Sake, S-A-K-E. I have eaten there a number of times afternoon. It's been a while. And I started thinking, why in the world don't I go there today? So Kay and I are going to do that after the show today. We're going to go and get entertained. And the food there is so, at least for lunch anyhow, I think it's reasonable anytime, even for dinner. But for lunch, it's almost embarrassingly reasonable. I mean, you get hibachi chicken or, you know, filet mignon, where they put on a show for you.
Sure.
For like $12 or $14.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
It was like nothing, including the show. So be interesting to see how many KSCO listeners I'm making their mouths water now.
No, I'm assuming you've been there before.
I have. Right? I have, or I wouldn't recommend. And they're not an advertiser. Maybe they will be sometime.
How is the clientele?
If enough people go there and try it and say, hey, I'm here only because of KSCO. I didn't even know you were here. But I heard the owner of KSCO say nice things about it. And I will say nice things because I've been there several times, and I've been as impressed as at a Benihana in a big city somewhere.
Now, how is the clientele? I mean, is it small amount of people, a large amount of people?
They have remodeled the place. They have made it. So I think they've got like half a dozen of those big tables that can.
Is it busy in there when you've been in?
No, because I typically get there sort of late. But I'm going to go early this time. I'm going to go right after the Saturday special. And I haven't been there during the week. But I think they told me their dinners are much more popular than their lunches. But I don't know what that means. Anyhow, that's what we're going to do afterwards. And anybody out there feels like having an interesting, different kind of meal, especially if you've had one of these before, but in a different town and wished that we had one, we do and have for quite a while now. Place is called Sake, S-A-K-E. And whether you get there today or if you decide to just make a mental note and try it, be sure to tell the people that you're there because MZ talked about MZ at KSCO talked about it, and which I did. And I think it's a pretty neat thing. So what do we do for the next?
Well, I have something to throw at you. Are you a big breakfast person? Do you like breakfast at all? Big breakfast?
I like them. I don't do them too often. I probably should. I don't like to have. I love carbs, but they're very bad for my body, blood sugar in particular.
You know where the Mission is, Mission Street is, and
yeah.
Right where Safeway is.
Yeah.
There used to be a really good restaurant, and I am so upset that they closed down. They were there for years. Pete's Restaurant. Do you remember Pete's Restaurant?
Pete's Restaurant.
So if you went up to the light, like right if you were going to turn where, you know, the liquor store is across from Safeway, the
yeah.
Mission Safeway.
Oh, yeah.
There was also a Carpo's there after
right.
Pete's closed.
Right.
It was Pete's Restaurant, and you would walk in, and they had these old booths, and you would sit in there.
That used to be a burger pit. That used to be a burger pit when I was a high school student.
And then they turned it into a family restaurant. They had a
Pete's Family Restaurant, right. I remember that.
Yeah, and they had a fireplace, and they had artwork, and God knows whatever happened to it, by a talented man named Gary Geyer, who used to do sculptures and paintings in and around town. And their French toast, oh, my God, it was so good. It was so good. I could just, my mouth's watering thinking about it right now.
Would you turn your mic off for a second? No, it doesn't make a difference.
I know. There's like a hollow.
There's a hiss.
Exactly. And I don't know where it's coming from. You know what? I think it's coming from your end.
I'm going to turn my mic off. That was it.
Yep. I almost wonder if you pot it down, it might sound a little less distorted.
Well, you mean sounding distorted? Is that a little better?
It is a little bit better. It's
isn't there as much, but is my voice distorted?
No, you're coming in clear, but there's almost like some empty space, like it's like a sound when you're not talking.
I think
it's
the damn computer fan.
Exactly, that is it. You hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
I was wondering what it is too, because when your mic was up more, you could definitely hear it.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll just have to live with it here. I can point the mic away from the fan, maybe.
Or maybe, we could also, before next weekend, we could put maybe a blanket over it or something, one that is not too, hot or something to kind of insulate the noise.
Yeah, we'll worry about it later. So here's the other personal question.
Uh-oh.
Walking Charlie.
Yeah?
Does that have any significance for you, Walking Charlie?
No.
Does that have any significance to anybody out there in KSCO land, Walking Charlie? 479-1080 in Area 831. 479-1080 in Area 839. Area 831. That's good for a $52 bottle of Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Someone tells me the correct significance of Walking Charlie. Let's see, a couple of other topics here that I wanted to touch on. I mentioned it already, briefly. What is it about pizza that people insist, most pizza makers insist on having their pizza dough be real thick, even if it's not super thick? It's thicker than it should be. Am I the only person out there who am I the only person who really appreciates cracker thin dough for pizzas? And they're really hard to find. Now I know that Domino's and I believe Pizza Hut has thin crust pizzas that you can order that are almost cracker like. But even those, they're just not quite right, and the sauces are they're okay, but nothing special. Is there any pizza anywhere in KSCO country, or even outside of KSCO country, even outside of our on-air coverage map, that someone wants to report is really, really special, really great pizza? I don't want to hear about thick crust pizza. I just want to hear about thin crust pizza. All right, who's next? Let's take Bob in Scotts Valley. Hey, Bob. Welcome to KSU.
Hey, MZ. I was talking to you the other day at the station when I bought the BTT. Papa Murphy's has thin crust. You can order.
But is the pizza any good? I remember going to Papa Murphy's. Is this the one where that you order it and you get it raw and then you come and you take it home and put it into your oven and then make it?
Yeah, if you know which one to get, they can be excellent.
Well, it was many, many years ago, I must admit, but I remember trying one of their pizzas, and I gagged. I thought it was that they should change their name to Papa Murphy's Inedible Pizza.
Yeah, well, it's
now, I'll give it another try.
Yeah, just know which one to order. Walking Charlie was a staple down there. If you remember Chester, who was the guy who was a maintenance guy at the Santa Cruz Post Office, nobody could beat him.
Walking Charlie. What are you talking about now?
Walking Charlie at the boardwalk?
Okay.
You're talking about the one where you knock the can off the guy's head.
Right. And the full size, statues that were running. It brought out the ugliest parts of people's personalities. They're racist, because some of these statues that were walking, and for having baseballs thrown at them to knock the heads off, not the heads, but they would want to knock the head off, and then they'd say the N-word. It was a terrible, terrible thing. And so as I was walking by, I was walking at the I heard Dave Michaels talking about, I thought Jefferson Starship, but it was just plain old Starship, I'm happy I went to the boardwalk last night for their concert.
Well,
but I thought it was going to be Jefferson Starship, but it was just, like I said, plain old Starship that I have no interest in. But
right.
But
you and I are the same age. We remember it as Jefferson Airplane.
Yes, yes, and which morphed into Jefferson Starship, and they were still okay. Yep. They had some of the same people, I think. I'm not sure they had Gray Slick by then, but
probably not.
Anyhow, as I was walking down the very, very popular, very vibrant and lively boardwalk last night, past where Walking Charlie used to be, okay, I was thinking of that and chuckling about how all these drunk people would you know, haul back and just let go of the, I'm going to get you, you know, and they would say very unkind, racist-type remarks because some half of the statues were black.
If you remember, if you spent any time down there at all, there was a guy named Chester who was...
I know Chester. I just saw him the other day.
Yeah, I know him real well. He could not be beat when he was young. He was a real big Elvis fan, but he would start at the back wall, do a backflip, and come up fire, and that can would go over.
Wow. Anyhow.
And they used to let him play for free because he would play all the people from San Jose and that, and the place was always full.
My question is, why does not the boardwalk have why did Walking Charlie go away?
I don't know.
Was it political correctness?
I don't know, but they can always bring it back and just have different characters, different figures.
Well, if they have all the faces white, then they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. Because if they're all white, they're going to be called racist that you don't have black people there. And if you have half and half, and you get those same racist people coming and saying, "I'm going to get you the N word," and everything. Watch me get the N word. Then. You know what I'm saying. So I guess it makes the most sense to just not have it. But is there any place in the country, because I'm sure that wasn't the only place that had the Walking Charlie.
There got to be other amusement parks.
Is there any other amusement park that still has Walking Charlie in the original form?
Not that I've ever seen. I think they stopped it because of the baseballs. I think it got too dangerous. The people got drunk. Throwing balls.
Hmm.
But maybe you have a listener that works at the boardwalk can tell us.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bob and Scott. Right. You do win a canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine. I'm going to put you on hold. And so you come up with a code word or something with Aaron. Yeah, he'll be on two. So you don't have to buy your next one here because you got it right. Here, he's on two, Aaron. It looks like Sherry is back. Hi, Sherry.
It's Shelly.
Oh, Shelly.
Yes. Well, come on now.
It's not me. Blame Aaron. He wrote Sherry in Aptos.
Must have been a bad connection.
What did you say, Aaron?
Well, there must be a bad connection because I only write what I hear. So if your connection's not good, m'lady, I'm not going to be able to type your name correctly.
Yeah, take that. Take that, Shelly. Take that. Okay.
My connection is just fine.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, Shelley's connection is just fine.
Oh, to you.
Okay. I'm saying because I'm not calling about any of the topics that you brought up. But
well, then we're going to have to hang up. No, go ahead.
What happened to Ethan? Because he's not on KGO either, I don't think, anymore. I don't hear him on there. And I thought I heard him there a couple times, and I just wondered what happened to him.
Well, hold on a second here. Let me lock you in. I don't know the answer to that question, but we can try to find out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I want to be able to dial.
What did you do?
I brought up an outside line, and I expected to see a dial pad here, and I don't. You're going to have to dial it, and I'm going to have to give you his number through the window because I don't want people knowing Ethan's private number.
Is it the one and only Ethan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have that number in there somewhere?
No, but I'll come in and get it
from
you.
All right, come in and get it, yeah. So, Sherry, that's the best we can do.
Shelly.
I mean, Shelly. Excuse me. Sorry. Aaron, would you do me a favor? Would you correct
yes.
the screen? Because I'm just going to – I depend on the screen, and if it's wrong, I'm going to repeat it wrong.
And I'm one of your loyal listeners. So I
you're the last person who should be dissed in that manner.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
So is that all you want to know what happened to poor Ethan?
I thought I heard that he called from – he was in Israel.
He did.
And I don't remember whose show that was.
It was Rosie's show.
Okay.
And I actually sent Ethan an email last week, excuse me, while he was still in Israel, asking him if he would come on the Saturday special, because I think he'd be a great guest. We could talk about his experience in Israel. And, you know, I'll tell you I didn't even get a response. I mean, they forget their humble beginnings, and they forget their little old friends in provincial backwater Santa Cruz. If Ethan is not on KGO anymore, it's got to be because he's on KFI or some even bigger station.
No, but he's local. I would think he'd keep in touch with you guys.
Well, anyhow, what am I, chopped liver? I mean, I guess I am. But we're gonna try one. He gets a pass for that one because what? You got it, Aaron?
The Google subscriber you have called is not available.
Yeah, you got the right number, all right. Did you leave a message for him to call?
I can call him back and do that.
Yeah, do that. And he'll probably just tell him to call the Saturday special. Damn it.
Well, we miss it. I miss him. I think he was one of the best people you had there for the afternoon talk.
Well, you know, when big stations call, you know, and mm-hmm. for a person who wants to, you know, to ascend in the industry, you can't blame him for not wanting to go and take advantage and build his brand, you know?
Sure.
So anyhow, yeah, we wish all the best to Ethan, and he'll always be our friend, I'm sure. And he will... hopefully you will be hearing from him either as a guest or maybe as an occasional host. I heard him a couple weeks back or a few weeks back with Dave Michaels on Flight 1080. He showed up
you know. Maybe I heard him on
so
that.
So he's not
too.
Totally out of sight and out of mind as far as KSCO people are concerned. And again, he was on with Rosie last week for about 10 or 15 minutes, I think.
Okay, well, thank you.
You bet. You take care.
Okay.
479-1080 is the phone number to call the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, KSCO AM 1080. There went Sherry. I mean, Shelly. Don't you want to talk to me? I don't bite. And even if I did bite, how could I bite you through the radio? 479-1080 is the phone number to call. Yeah, let's see. I still want the best authentic thin crust Italian pizza. Not with canned tomato sauce. I want crushed tomatoes with lots of garlic. Where can I go in and buy one of those things without having to make it from scratch? I don't mind doing that. I just don't have a lot of time to do that. Anyhow, want to hear from you, so let's see. Take next. I think that's Wes in Aptos. Hi, Wes in Aptos.
Hi, MZ. Yeah, I've got an idea. I don't know if you've been there. Village Host Pizza is pretty good, and it's really thin crust.
Where are they?
Okay, they've got one in Seascape and one right here at Capitola across from Knob Hill. It just opened up about 4 months ago or so, somewhere
I will tuck that away. I will definitely try it. Now,
okay.
Now, do you think, what is it that's so good about?
Well, I just like when I order it, it's the best pizza I've eaten around any place.
To you,
Domino's
what does best mean? What does best
mean?
Oh,
it's just really good. They make a different kind of cheese topping than anybody else. The crust is thin. And I don't know. I just like it better than any of the other places around. So okay. They must be doing something different.
So what's the name again? I'm going to write it.
Village Host.
Village Host Pizza. Okay, and that's in at Knob Hill, Village Host, or at Seascape.
Yeah, the one in Capitola is in that building there where they have Pete's Coffee and
right.
the Blue
yeah,
Bank.
I can
yeah.
visualize it perfectly.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Wes.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks for calling
you
KSEO.
Too.
Here's Harry in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Harry in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I'm calling about Walking Charlie. That the concession stand stows was my uncle's place.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Uncle who?
Uncle Dominic. Dominic Giovinazzo was his name.
Wait a minute. Did he have a supermarket also?
I think my grandfather did. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But my grandfather owned the concession stands first, and then they went to my uncle.
Yeah, go ahead. Hold on, Harry. Poor Aaron wants to say something.
On Access 1, I have Ethan Behrman if you want to go ahead and pot him up.
Oh, okay. Good. On Access 1. Ethan Behrman.
Mr. Michael Zwirling, good morning. It is a fine Saturday.
Jeez. So listen, I've been meaning to call you ever since I think you've been back from Israel. Hey, wait a second. I don't want to be rude to Harry and Sam.
Okay, no problem.
So Harry, I didn't mean to cut you off during a thought there. What were you saying, Harry?
That was my uncle's concession stand. He had four of them there. He had the Walking Charlie, the Greyhound races where you hit the plunger thing. To move the Greyhound.
I remember them all. They were next to each other, I think, right?
Yes.
Did
yes,
he also
were.
Have the, I'm the marshal of this here town.
The quick straw. Yeah.
And
I'm
going to
referee
this shootout.
To load the gun,
just push the muzzle down on one of the corks in front of you. You cock the gun when you draw.
Exactly.
Ready? All right. Draw. You miserable polecat! You're not as fast as you thought you were, are you? Gun reloaded? You ready to try again? Draw! You got me! Remember that?
I remember, because I used to work there when I was a kid.
Oh, man, that is so cool. Anyhow, thank you for calling in. We have a very important talk show host on the line with us here. Who's just been to Israel and has lived to tell about it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So thank you for calling, Harry. Appreciate your call in the Saturday special. Keep listening.
Okay.
So, Ethan, you had never been to Israel before.
I had never been to Israel. That is correct. And
why did you go?
That's an interesting question.
Why did you go when you went?
Well, so that's kind of the key, right? I mean, I'd always been interested in going to Israel, but with the, the flare up in, ultimately it's a war that's going on there. And I've been having debates on air with other people, with callers online, all over the place. And I finally just said, forget it. I need to get over there and see what's going on firsthand. So I'm not just talking about what everybody else is saying, but I want to see it with my own eyes. And be able to report back to my listeners what exactly is going on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And so I did. I just went online. I bought a plane ticket, and I flew over. It was just like that. I mean, I kind of freaked a lot of people out by saying, "Yeah, I'm going like in 2 days, and I'm going to Israel, and I'm going to be on the ground, and I'll call in."
Well, great. So I missed your interview with Rosie. Because it happened, it had already happened by the time I thought about it. So, what did you tell Rosie?
Oh, it was that was a very interesting time. I was right by the front, right where all the action was going on. I was in Sderot, Israel, which is on the border of Gaza. That is a place that for 14 years has had rockets launched at it since the second Intifada started. So even when you and I, MZ, are being told, oh, it's peacetime or it's a ceasefire that's going on in Israel, this is a town that on average is, I mean, it's just every month Every month, rockets are landing in this town, disrupting the lives of the civilians. Everywhere you look are bomb shelters. The bus stops are bomb shelters. The playground equipment at children's parks are bomb shelters. And it was very interesting. I spoke with a 23-year-old woman who's lived through the last 14 years of having rockets constantly fired at her and what that feels like. And, you know, and she was talking about it. She basically has the equivalent of post-traumatic stress syndrome, except it's not post because she's still living it. And she's questioning whether or not she wants to have children. You know, just on and on, this just terrible existence that we never hear about here in our major media
outlets.
So instead
of PTSD, it's just plain TSD, right?
Yes, it was mind-blowing. Still working on editing all the video that I got from over there as well. But I'm looking for somebody to help me out with that. I'm not a video guy. I can edit audio files all day, but not video. So.
Oh wow! Well, I bet there could well be somebody who's listening.
Who could
call you, and I guess we could talk to Dr. and Mrs. Future, or we could talk to Aaron. Aaron, you were pointing it yourself.
Yeah. Aaron's. I have like 12 hours of A and B roll.
Oh my God.
From Israel, and I want it brought down to like a 5 minute. That's all we need is 5 minutes. I've touched base with the Futures too. We just haven't been able to connect.
Ah, okay.
But it was really eye opening. And I got to tell you, MZ, I stood on that infamous hill that social media and CNN made so infamous in Sderot that overlooks Gaza.
Yeah,
it's a half a mile from the border. And it was that was my first experience being around a combat zone. Technically, I was in it because rockets are flying in my direction as well. And it was life changing to stand there and feel the earth shaking all the time.
Wow. Yeah. I've been to Israel twice. Once when I was like 19 in 1971. And the next time, 40 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what was that? What was I? 2011. And I was there on the occasion of my niece and her husband's graduation from medical school. And they had lived there for the previous 4 years, from July 2011 to almost, you know, probably May in 2011. From 2007 to 2011. And that's the way they lived. They lived in a nice apartment building, but it had its own bomb shelter on every floor.
Yeah.
And what a way to live.
It's shocking, but it wasn't just the bomb shelters that I found so surprising, MZ. You know, I stepped off the airplane in Tel Aviv, and there the first thing I saw was a sign that says this way to the bomb shelter, right?
Uh-huh.
And but it wasn't just that. I went deep into the West Bank. Right? We hear in the United States, we hear West Bank, occupied territories, apartheid, subjugated Palestinians, on and on and on. And I got to tell you, and I got pictures up on my blog, MZ, at blog.ethanbearman.com, of these Palestinian towns, these Arab towns that I'm driving through. By the way, the road is shared by Arabs and Israelis alike. I actually had to ask him, like, so we're driving on this road. We went through the checkpoint out of Jerusalem. And I said, well, you know, I see white license plates, I see yellow license plates. What does that mean? And the people I was with, they're like, no. The white license plates are for the Arabs, the Palestinians, what you would call Palestinians, and the yellow license plates are for Israelis. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, we're all driving on the same road together, and their cars look the same as the Israeli cars. I mean, they're all driving the same cars. They're all driving on the same road.
Doesn't exclude anybody.
No, but they don't even exclude the Palestinians. They have the checkpoints in the wall up to protect themselves from the terrorists that want to kill them.
Ethan,
but yeah,
you said we. Who were you with?
I reached out to a number of people. When I decided to do this trip, I'm like, I don't know anybody in Israel. I don't even really speak Hebrew, so I'm going to need some help. And I reached out. There's a group in the United States called America's Voices in Israel, and they help coordinate people like me getting over there, coordinating interviews and some of these site visits and that kind of stuff. And then they partnered with a group called the Face of Israel there in Israel. So it was the on-the-ground guy in Israel. His name was Hanan Elias, and he was with the Face of Israel. He's actually originally from Los Angeles. And he helped me, you know, coordinate interviews and some of that kind of stuff. So he was in the car with me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was fantastic. But I went deep into the heart of the West Bank, and I visited a hummus factory, MZ.
Oh, I and just love hummus.
I love hummus. Not Hamas, hummus.
Oh.
And,
yeah,
not Hamas, it's hummus. That's an old Sacha Baron Cohen bit, by the way.
Yeah.
So I have to give him credit where credit is due. And, but it was an Israeli-owned factory. It has 140 people that work at this factory. And they were telling me between 90 and 100 people there are Palestinian. And they're making five times the average wage that they would make in the Arab territories. And that they get pension and health benefits. And I was like, well, whatever. I want a tour of the factory right now. I'm not just going to take your word for this. I want to see this. Is it modern? Is it clean? Is it safe? Is it... I'm going to tell you, MZ, they were like, well, what do you mean you want a tour of the factory? I said, well, I have a background in the food business. That's how I grew up. And I want to go out there right now. I want to see what you're telling me, see if it's true.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to just take somebody's word for it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I put on all the garb. I go out into the hummus factory where they also make, like, baba ganoush and other fun.
Eggplant.
Oh, it was
yeah.
It was delicious. It was absolutely delicious.
By the way, hummus, for those of you who don't know, is primarily... garbanzo beans and some tahini, right?
Yes, and they make it and sometimes with garlic, and they make different versions of it. My favorite at this place called Shamir Foods or Shamir Salads was a Druze style hummus. And but I went out in the plant, and guess what? There are all these Palestinians or Arabs working there that live in these Palestinian villages in very normal-looking houses, surrounded by gigantic mansions owned by other Palestinians. So they're not subjugated. They're not abused. And there were equal rights. I talked to Arab Christians that were being abused in places like Bethlehem, Pastor Stephen Khoury. I also spoke with Shadi Khalul, who's a Maronite Aramaic Christian who's also an Israeli citizen. And, I mean, it was on and on and on talking about, no, Israel is the one place where we actually get treated fairly and equally, and we can practice our religion openly.
Yeah, and I'm sure you didn't need to go there to find that out because you knew that already.
But just, you know, reading it is one thing, and then going there, meeting people, seeing things. I got I just changed the cover photo on my Facebook fan page on facebook.com/EthanBearmanShow. It's a picture of me standing with five black Jewish women, Jerusalem police women. And you say, racist Israel, racist. Wait, they're black and they're women and they're the police in Jerusalem.
Wow.
I mean, it was, you know, so you can read the things, but then to go there, see it, experience it, talk to people who said, yeah, no, we really like Israel. We feel safer with Israel in charge than we are with the Palestinian Authority. And I also, you know, I mean, so that was my experience. It was mind-blowing. And really life-changing experience, and I still have a ton more material to work on as well, like I said.
How has your life changed? You've said that a couple times.
Well, I'll tell you what. To understand what it is like to live your life in fear at all times. We here in the United States, I don't care if you live in Stockton or Compton, we don't live in the same level of fear that people living on the border of Gaza do. The Israelis who live a normal life are afraid all of the time because there are people there that simply want them all to die.
Uh-huh.
And to kind of feel that, to sense it, to spend some time in that environment changed my awareness of what that really is like to live your life in fear of terror, constant terror.
I've just received a disturbing email.
Oh, you'll get lots of them. I got lots of hate email from this, by the way.
But wait a minute. Here, it says, this is from someone named Aaron Wayne. It says, Michael, last week you had a talk show host who was presenting the opposite side of the Israel-Palestine issue, a more pro-Palestine position. A caller said, quote, "You won't last long on this station," unquote. Please tell me that wouldn't be true. You wouldn't censure, so I think he means censor.
Oh, man, censor, right.
Yeah, someone who disagreed with you, would you? Because this is the last time I heard this person on your station. Okay.
Wasn't it Lieberman that was on last week with you?
Lieberman's on every day now on Comey.
Well, yes, but who was on last week?
I wish the guy would remember who it was. Aaron, is there anybody or anybody in the audience who knows who that might be? Anyhow,
no, you've never censored anybody ever.
It's just the opposite, you know.
Yeah.
I bend over backwards to give a voice to people whose thoughts I personally loathe and detest. But I want everybody to have, if I have anything to say about it, I want everybody to have their fair say.
Period. Absolutely.
That's the way I've always run the station, and it really bothers me that there are so many people out there saying, oh, if you don't agree with the twirling, you're not going to get on the radio.
I'll tell you what, it is
just
absolutely
the opposite.
It is. I can speak as somebody who has worked with UMZ for close to 3 years. It is, honest to goodness, you are pretty much the only person left who truly says you can speak your mind. I mean, as long as you're not violating FCC rules, you can speak your mind when you're on KSCO. It is true.
Yeah. So anyhow, we don't screen callers, and in fact, a lot of times we hosts will. I remember speaking of Rich. Rich filled in for me 2 Saturday specials ago.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
I think that's what it was. But Rich was very, very. Rich was and is very, very pro-Israel. So. But I'm thinking of that particular program. I was able to listen to most of it. I was out of state, I think. But I remember him saying, I want people who disagree with me, who believe that the Palestinian people are being persecuted and that the Israelis are bad, terrible. I want people to call. He was encouraging people to call.
Yeah.
And we always, you on your shows, Ethan, I've heard you encourage people to
always
who have a different perspective than you. By the way, speaking of your show, what prompted this whole thing is that a caller who misses you is concerned because she not only doesn't hear you on this station, she hasn't heard you on KGO lately. But it's probably because you're on KSFO, is that right?
Yes, I'm on KSFO, but also, I mean, I'm on Comey. It's Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m., KOMY, AM 1340, 4 to 6 p.m. Sundays, and then KSCO AM 1080 Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m.
Right.
So you can hear me here as well. And that's my syndicated show. And like last week's show, I played a ton of these interviews from Israel. I'll have a couple more on tomorrow's show from Israel. But again, I was speaking to Arabs and Christians. I didn't just speak to Israeli Jews. And I got to tell you, I also interviewed an Ahmed from Gaza City. It was not safe for me to go to Gaza. I've had like 2 people say to me, why didn't you go to Gaza? Because I didn't want to die. Okay.
This wasn't
a suicide trip for me. And even people I met from Gaza, like, yeah, you're Jewish. You just can't go there. It's just not safe. So I interviewed an Ahmed from Gaza City before I went to Israel, actually. I met him at the big protest in San Francisco. I guess, what was that, 2 weeks ago now? Or was that a week ago? I don't even know where I am anymore. I guess that was 2 weeks ago. And guess what? So I sat down. I had a very cordial conversation with him, and I asked him. I said, what's it going to take to find peace? And he said, well, when there's one state and the Jews all go away. I mean, so really, what is there to talk about? When one side says you all, the 8 million people that live in Israel, of which 21% are Arab, of which a fair percentage are Christian, not Jews, by the way, and oh, look at all these nice, beautiful, dark faces. It was so funny. Carol Stafford saw that picture of me and with these 5 beautiful Jerusalem police women. She said, they're kind of dark. That's not what I picture for Israel. I'm like, yeah, because the Israeli government rescued 40,000 Ethiopian Jews that were at that were about to be murdered, and they brought him to Israel.
Hold that thought, isn't it? Ethan. What do you want, Aaron? What's up?
The gentleman who's an avid KSCO listener called in and said that the person in question was Alex Darnell, who was talking about that.
Oh, Alex Darnell. Okay. All right.
Sure.
All right.
So now, it was Alex is who it was.
Yeah, it was Alex. Okay, good. Well, thank you for making that
sure, because we have a lot of people that like to do what is called moral relativism, and they've bought into the narrative that Yasser Arafat in particular put forth, which is we are victims, talking about the Arabs that we now call Palestinians.
All right. You're a host on KSCO.
Yes.
Alex is a host on KSCO. You obviously have different views on Israel.
Sure.
And I smell a Saturday special brewing.
The rumble on the Palestine Israel issue.
Yeah, what do you think? Are you up to it?
We have to figure out what day will work, but we can do it.
You and Alex Darnell, that'd be great. I've known Alex for many, many, many years, and we don't see eye to eye on everything. I didn't hear that, but you know he. Well, everybody thinks that they're not only will he not be heard from anymore.
Oh, please. Alex is on the station all the time.
Exactly. He's on Mondays. Monday from
Monday. Well, okay. So, but when I say all the time, regularly.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's good. So, I'm happy we got the name. I'm going to call him later today and see if he's up to – are you up to next week, if we can do it next week, if he can?
I have to confirm it, but that is distinctly possible.
Okay. All righty. Well, we'll do it because I know you'd be good and I know he'd be good. And I'm biased on your side, I think. I mean, I know that you and I are on the same page. I haven't heard Alex's discussion on this, but apparently he does have a different perspective.
Good.
And so that'll be really good.
And absolutely.
He is and continues to be on the radio station. So Ethan, your show is on KSFO Saturdays and Sundays?
Actually, I am getting ready to leave the house to head up to the city right now.
Oh, boy. Okay. And why do they make you do that? Why don't they let you be remote? Like you sound like you're right in the studio with us.
Of course, and I have technology is amazing nowadays, where we can just connect up. Yeah, you'd have to. I can't speak to that question, MZ. I think that they desire that I go in and work with everybody face to face.
Do you get a special parking space next to Michael Savage?
No, I have to find whatever is open.
Oh, okay. Well,
I am not privileged with an assigned parking spot.
Yeah, everybody's saying you're about to inherit the morning drive slot. You don't feel like commenting on that, do you?
Oh, I don't. That is absolutely Brian Sussman's show, so that would be totally up to Brian Sussman. On when he chooses to exit radio. I don't think he's exiting anytime soon. Brian loves doing radio. He's a great host.
He is. I know Brian. He's a
great host. Wonderful guy. I'm
just hearing rumblings in the industry, you know.
Well, nobody knows what tomorrow holds in general, and let alone in the radio business.
Boy, you got that right.
So,
all right. Hey, Ethan Behrman, always great to hear you. I'm happy you had a great eye-opening trip. Life-changing.
It was life-changing. Yes.
That'd be great. And I'm sure we'll be talking with you more about it. Thanks for coming on the air with us today.
MZ, sounds great. We'll be in touch. Okay. Everybody take care. Good to talk to you.
Ethan Behrman himself, he started on this radio station and is on a number of other stations through the GCN radio network. A good guy. Ethan for quite a while did 12 to 2, noon to 2 right after the Limbaugh show here on KSCO. And he's always done a wonderful job of doing what Rosie and the rest of us here at KSCO want, and that's live and local programming and local issues and so forth. And Ethan's particularly skilled at that, and he's a really bright and nice person too. We're coming to the end of our program. We have 11:58 and 13 seconds. We do have a caller. Forgive me. Yeah, I got to get. Let's take Tom's a call. Tom will probably be our last caller here on the Saturday special. Tom, you're on.
Yes. Earlier in the program, you said you were going to rebroadcast something that Rich Lieberman did.
I said maybe if we can find it, but
okay.
Other things happen instead.
Well, I hope in the next week or so you can find it and maybe rebroadcast it next week.
We'll look into that, okay? But in the meantime, get in the habit of listening to Rich from 2 to 4, Monday through Friday, on AM 1340. Or if you have a computer and an Internet connection, you can go find it yourself, you know, right now. Anyhow, that's the end of the program. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 12 noon. And here is CBS News, I think. Oh, no, it's not. I'm a minute early, huh? So I do have time to... how did that happen? How did that happen here, Aaron? I rushed the poor caller off the telephone thinking it was the end of the program, and I really had a minute. Don't I know the difference between 8 and 9 when I see it?
You would think, but, you know.
All right. Well, the...